Okay, it's a schuss to be back together. It's been a while since we've been on a Thursday night to prepare for Shabbos Kodesh. But Baruch Hashem, it's always special to be here and to gain chizik together, gain his horos together. I want to start, first of all, by thanking the Shriers, thanking Eliza for always opening up their bias and making us feel at home in Bez Hashem. All the Torah, all the chizik, all the Torah should be big schuss for only simcha and bracha in the entire mishpacha. Also, all the Torah tonight, all the chizik, all the Torah tonight is l'refu shleima. We've given a few shirim already, l'refu shleima, and we should have him in our tefillos for Chaim Elchana Ben Basya. Chaim Elchana Ben Basya, should have l'refu shleima. If you don't have the name, you should take it down and daven for him. All the Torah tonight, all the hizoros and chizik, Bez Hashem is barach. We should be zayicha Bez Hashem to hear b'sirs tovos and give shiurim Bez Hashem as a karsa tov to Rabbanu Shalom for refuos and yeshuos b'karav mamish. So a week from today, a week from last night, is a very big yontif. It's a very hidden yontif. It's a yontif that we've heard about, and we hear a little bit about, and we know a little bit about. The yontif of Lag BaOmer. I'm not tonight going to give an understanding of the depth, because there's so much depth, and there's so much that's hidden in Lag BaOmer. If anyone wants, I gave a shiur a few years ago that's online. It's entitled just the understanding the Halig Yontif of Lag BaOmer. It's kedai to listen to just understand what the yontif is, what it's all about. Now, clearly, it's the yontif of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. It's the yahrzeit of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. It's the day when, not just because it wouldn't be worth celebrating the 24,000 talmidim Rabbi Akiva stopped dying, but it's the day when Rabbi Akiva took 5 new talmidim and continued to teach Torah and give over Torah. It's a very, very special day. It's a Heilige day. I'll tell you just a personal story. I haven't been in Meiron for Lag BaOmer in many, many years. Every year, I hope. But it hasn't happened in about 10, 11 years. And the last time I was there, it was a trip that I've spoken about throughout the years together with the Chevra. This trip that I went with 17 Talmidim, and we went to Ukraine for a few days to all the Mekoymos Kedoshim over there, the Kibur Tzadikim, the Baal Shem Tov and the Baal HaTanya and Rav Nachman. And then we ended in Eretz Yisrael for Lag BaOmer Meiron. And we get to Meiron that year. Lag BaOmer was on a Thursday night. And we get to Meiron. First, we got into Eretz Yisrael that Thursday afternoon. We arrived. We drove straight to Sfas. That's where we were staying for Shabbos. We put down all our stuff and we went straight to Meiron from there. We got to Meiron probably about midnight, maybe a little bit before. And mamish, it's pumping. I don't know if any of you has had the schus to be in Meiron for Lag BaOmer. I mean, there's nothing you could even start to compare it to. Nothing. We have hundreds of thousands. It's the biggest gathering of Yidden in the world at any date, at any time. Hundreds of thousands of Yidden. They say about 500,000 Yidden throughout the night and next day in Meiron to celebrate Lag BaOmer. Non-stop, all night long, dancing and singing the Simcha of the Yontif. As they say, outside of the kever, it's like Simchas Torah, and you go inside to Davin, and Mamish is like Yom Kippur. Mamish, tears streaming. It's Mamish, nothing else like it. You feel it. You Mamish feel it. And we get there, and we say, okay, let's first, as a chevra, we'll Davin Ma'ariv, then everybody could do what they want all night long, and we'll basically meet up again to Davin Vasikin in the morning for Shachris. So two of my Talmidim, they come over to me. They were in, I think, 11th grade at the time, if I'm not mistaken. Yehuda Aryeh Meizel and Asher Chaim Gleitman. They come over to me, and they you know, you felt you got there, and they just wanted so badly to just get into everything and get into the tansing. And they said, Rebbe, we'll daven after. Can we go? Is it okay? And they meant it. Emes, they're minyanim all night long. It's not, so I said, Father, you really want to go? Go. They couldn't hold back. You like, they just needed to be. So they go. And then all night long, we're all, you know, you bump into some of the chevra, you're with other people, all night long, you're dancing, you're davening, mamish, 5 hours straight. It was after 4 o'clock in the morning, I don't remember exactly the time, 4:30 in the morning. And I bumped into those two Talmidim together. And we were talking about our nights and how incredible it was. And I asked them, oh, did you remember to daven Ma'ariv? And they looked at me, mamish. They mamish, like, just totally forgot. They were swept away in the excitement of the night and the dancing and the davening. They mamish just totally forgot to daven Ma'ariv. Like, oh, mamish, Rebbe, we forgot. We, like, so I quickly cheshbin in the time. And at that time, it was already after Alos HaShachar, after what we call dawn, which is about an hour and a quarter before sunrise, and prior to Netachama, prior to sunrise, which is a time period which is like quasi-night, quasi-day, right? It's not sunrise yet, but it's already after dawn. And there's a big discussion in the Gemara and how we paskin whether you're allowed to still daven Ma'ariv then. Maybe you could only daven Ma'ariv until dawn, because already dawn, it's like it's the morning already. You could start davening Shachris B'dievet at that point, right? So maybe you can't have a Ma'ariv anymore. Many hold you can't have a Ma'ariv anymore. It's already too late. But it's still before sunrise. It's not the next morning fully yet. Could you still have a Ma'ariv? So who's the opinion in the Gemara that allows you still at that time, in between dawn and sunrise, to still have a Ma'ariv? Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. The opinion in the Gemara is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. And the halach is, the Gemara tells us, and this is a very big line, don't forget it for this upcoming week, Kedai Lismoch al Reb Shimon B'Shas Adchak. You always could rely on Reb Shimon. B'shas l'chak means in an emergency situation when you really need him. Kedai lismoch al Reb Shimon b'shas l'chak. You could always rely on Reb Shimon. So I'm standing there to Talmidim. I look at them. I said, you know who says you could still daven Ma'ariv now? And I point to the kever. We were like down there. I point to the kever. I said, Reb Shimon bar Yochai. Kedai lismoch al Reb Shimon bar Yochai b'shas l'chak. Daven Ma'ariv. Vada, you have to daven Ma'ariv. What is chus to daven Ma'ariv at such a time? And the two of them davened Ma'ariv right there. Remember, I have a picture of the two of those guys davening Ma'ariv at that time. It was such a special moment. But that line is so important to understand, that the Halakha Yont of the Yortzeit of Reb Shimon bar Yochai, which was the day that he told over to write down the Zohar, the deepest Torah, and whether you learn Zohar, you don't learn Zohar, that it's in the world, the deepest Torah is part of the world, is a schus for each and every one of us. Mamish. And that all was because of this day, Lag Boimer. Because that's what he said to write it down. And we would have been lost forever if he didn't tell us to. To his Talmidim. To the Chavraya. So it's a big day. Whether you fully grasp or not, Kedai Lismacha, what does it mean Kedai Lismacha? Not just for our Halacha. It's a day we can rely on Reb Shimon. And it's a day of big Tfilas. That Tfilas can be answered. Mamish, people have Tfilas answered because of Lag Boimer. Like no other day. It's a day where we can take Kabbalah. Remember, last year, I'll open up just to give chizik to everybody. Last year, Lag Boimer, during the daytime, I went to Rav Avram Shor. Rav Avram Shor is a big tzaddik in Brooklyn, who I very much love and gain a lot of chizik from. His father was Rav Gedalia Shor, the Or Gedalio. And he had a whole tish, Lag Boimer, like as Lag Boimer is ending, right, during the daytime, like what would be this year, Thursday afternoon. And he gave unbelievable chizik. At one point he said he has a Kabbalah from Tzadikim that even though all year long when we take upon ourselves a Kabbalah, you decide you're going to do something, it often sticks for how long? A day? A minute? 2 days? Right? Think about how many Kabbalahs we took upon Yom Kippur time. How many are still with us? Lo aleinu. He says, yeah, he knows from Tzadikim, on Lag Boimer you take a Kabbalah, it could stick. And he was trying to be mechazik certain Kabbalahs. I personally, Mamish took those words to heart. I decided I'm going to start learning a certain amount of Mishnayos every single day. And because of that, Lag Boimer, we're a year later, I'm almost finished with Shas Mishnayos. I'm pushing it off a little so that I can finish for my 40th birthday. But it was mamish if I wasn't there, I never would have taken it upon myself. And to say that I could do such a thing, and it stuck. Kachabe, it stuck. So it's a tremendous day, because I listen to Reb Shimon, this day of Lag Boimer, a day of Tefillah, a day where we could gain chizik and we could change. And Emes Hashem, we should be zoich and grab onto it and understand the power of this day that's coming upon us Wednesday night. And that's why we're starting tonight, to prepare and to understand the amazing schus of this day. But let's understand a little bit of Amkus, what it's all about. It's perfect, it was all Hachana really till now. A little bit of Amkus. A little bit of depth, what it's all about. What's so special about the day of Lag Boimer? What midah is Lag Boimer all about? So this is a tour. The tour is a pirish that the whole entire Shulchan Aruch is based upon, really. And the Torah says as follows, that if you look, and listen closely to this, if you look at the days of Pesach, you could understand what days of the week many of the other Yom Tovim are going to be. Based on a system called, I'm going to explain this, called Atbash. You heard of Atbash? Atbash means Aleph is connected Tuf, Beis is connected Shin, Gimel is connected Resh, right? So if you take the days of Pesach, the first 6 days of Pesach, Aleph, so every Aleph, the first day is going to be connected Tuf, and the second day is going to be connected Shin. What do I mean? So watch, we'll go through it and you'll understand. Whatever day the first day of Pesach is, Aleph, is Tav. What's Tav? Tisha B'Av. Whatever day first day of Pesach is, Tisha B'Av is going to fall out on that day of the week. You know it based on Pesach. What was the first day of Pesach this year? Friday night. Shabbos Kodesh, right? So this year you'll see upcoming Tisha B'Av is on a Shabbos, just like it was last year. It's going to be a Nidcha, pushed off Tisha B'Av on a Sunday, but it really falls out on Shabbos because the first day of Pesach is on Shabbos. Second day of Pesach was on Sunday. Beis. So Beis, Shin. What's Shin? Shavuos. How's Shavuos going to fall out? When do we start Shavuos? It's a 3-day Yantav starting with the Shabbos. Matzah Shabbos means Sunday is day one. Beis, second day Pesach, Sunday, so it's Shavuos. Gimel is connected Kuf. So he says Gimel, the third day is Monday this year. Third day Pesach. What, again, whatever day it would fall out, but third day is Monday. So that's going to be connected. I'm sorry, Resh, I skipped one, right? Shin, then Resh. Going backwards. Gimel is connected Resh. Gimel, Resh. What's Resh? Rosh Hashanah. You'll see, Bez Hashem, I haven't looked at a calendar, but trust me, I trust the Torah. This year, Rosh Hashanah, first day Rosh Hashanah, is going to be on a Monday. We know that already from Pesach. Okay, it's going to be a Monday, Tuesday Rosh Hashanah. You're looking it up, you don't trust the Torah?
Of course I do.
Okay, you just want to... Tamis. Fourth day, which was a Tuesday... So Dalet is connected Kuf. What's Kuf? Kriyas. It's referred to Kriyas Torah, which is Simchas Torah. Kriyas Torah, which is the ending of the Kriyas Torah, which is Simchas Torah. And you'll see, it's going to be, that Simchas Torah is going to be on a Tuesday. What's next? Hey. Hey is connected Tzadi. Right? Going backwards. Hey is connected Tzadi. So the fifth day of Pesach, which is Wednesday, this is upcoming word, Tzadi, Tzom Kippur, the fast of Kippur. Yom Kippur, you'll see this year, is going to be on a Wednesday. You know it already now. And the sixth day of Pesach, which is Thursday, is Purim Sha'avar, is the previous Purim. It's connected to the Purim that was. So Purim is the same day as the sixth day of Pesach that was this year, because next year Purim's already a new year. Purim, the previous Purim, what did we just had Purim. Purim was on a Thursday, and the sixth day of Pesach was a Thursday. So I know there's a lot of information, but it's pretty cool just to hear the how incredible Torah is and how things work out. But let's just focus on that last one. So the sixth day of Pesach is Keneged Purim. They're on the same day of the week, which means there's some connection between them. The sixth day of Pesach and Purim. What else do we know? So the same Torah says, Peleg Chai. Just a mnemonic to remember. Peleg, which is Purim Lag Bomer. Peleg Chai is the 18th day of Iyar. Meaning what? So also, just like the sixth day of Pesach is going to be the same day as the past Purim, again, Thursday, so too is Lag BaOmer, Peleg. That's going to also be the day of Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is going to be next Thursday, same day of the week, which is Chayir, Peleg Chay, the 18th day of the year. So what do we know now? Okay, even if you didn't follow every single detail, we know that the sixth day of Pesach, Purim, and Lag BaOmer are all the same day of the week. There has to be a connection between that. And if we understand that connection, maybe we can understand a little bit of what Lag BaOmer could be for each and every one of us. But there's one more thing that occurs. And not on the date of the week, not on the day of the week, but on that date, Chai'ir of Lag BaOmer. We know it's the Yahrzeit of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, it's the day that he told over to write the Zohar, and the day that Rabbi Akiva taught 5 new Talmidim, and one of them was Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. You know what else happened on that day? Chacham Sofer has an unbelievable cheshbon, unbelievable calculation. That was the day, Chayir, that the mon started to fall. It was that day that the mon started to fall. Meaning what? He has all cheshbon that he proves, I'm not going to go through right now, that we had a month's worth of food when we left Mitzrayim. 30 days worth of food. Then there were 3 days that he brings rayas from Chazal. 3 days we went without food, and a person could go 3 days without food. And it was the 33rd day that the month started to fall, which is Lag BaOmer, Chayir. So the day, so now we have a fourth connection, and this is what we have to start now building. You ready, Chevra? So don't worry if we're not, you don't have to cheshbon the Apash anymore, and Peleg Chai. Now let's just put it together. What we just proved was that somehow the same day of the week is going to be Purim, Lag BaOmer, and the sixth day of Pesach. And on this Lag BaOmer is also, that date is the date that the mon began to fall. So what's the common denominator? There has to be a deep connection between all this. What does Purim have to do with Lag BaOmer? That has to do with the sixth day of Pesach, which has to do with the mon falling. So I'll tell you like this. You know, the mon, what was the mon falling? What was the godless of the mon falling? Obviously, it was Hashem taking care of us, but it was much bigger than that. You know, the Pasuk says, in Parashas B'Shalach, Perek Tesai and Pasuk Dalad, Vayomer Hashem HaMoshe, Hinen Imam Tir Lechem Lechem Min HaShemayim. Hashem said to Moshe, mon is going to fall down from heaven. And everyone will go out to collect the mon every single day. This is the big key line. And the mon should be leman in order. It doesn't say, it sounds to me from the pasuk, it's not even in order to feed us. If Hashem, by the way, if Hashem wanted it, we wouldn't need food. He could have made it, by the way, just as easily, that in the Midbar, we don't need food. For those years, we don't need food. Right? We all know there was a big miracle that our clothing grew with us, right? We didn't ever change our clothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this nes gadol that our clothing grew with us. You don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made it? That the food that we ate when we left Mitzrayim sustained us for all the 40 years in the Midbar? He could have made a miracle. We don't need food. So the mon wasn't in order to sustain us. The mon was, the Pasuk tells us why he gave us the mon. It's an amazing thing. The mon was leman antzenu, to test us. The purpose of the mon was leman antzenu, in order to test us. Hayelech b'sarasi yimlo, if we're going to follow the Torah, how so? The mon was a test? You know, some of us, a lot of us in this room are still in school, graduating, but still in school, and it's finals time now, right? A lot of the schools have finals time. Right now, they have a lot of tests. Nobody enjoys tests. Nobody likes tests. A test is a challenge. Even if it's a subject you enjoy and you care about and you want to know, you're not excited about taking a test on it. Let's be real. Nobody wants to take a test. Any type of test. You remember how it was when you went into your driving test? Mamish pachad, probably, right? Mamish shaking that morning. You woke up that morning, you didn't want to go out, get out of bed. Right? Emes. Because everybody is dying to drive. Because when you drive, you feel like an adult, and I'm independent, and I'm cool. I'm going to take my mother's car, and I'm going to drive up to school, and I'm going to chves nesh, you feel like $1 million. And you like, mamish, and you hear stories how everybody fails their first time and gets some driving instructor and test that's like mamish chvesnish, you know, I'm even yavin, don't need to say it. It's scary. And you get there, you, I don't know, your mother took you, your father took you, whoever took you. My grandmother took me. Safta's the best. You guys have to all meet Safta. I should bring Safta to give share once. No, so you want to hear just one thing? Safta's, can I know her? She's turning 88 in a few months. Safta over Pesach. She was by me for Pesach for the first day as Mrs. Adorim. Then she went for Chol HaMoed to be with my sister. My parents were in Orlando. What does she do when she goes there? She decides. She went skydiving. Skydiving, my grandmother. Skydiving. Emes. She's gone bungee jumping. She's done everything. She used to travel the world lecturing. She has a doctorate in special ed. She's just an amazing woman. Sadeik is an amazing woman. Skydiving. Out of her mind, but Baruch Hashem. Anyways. My brother-in-law was going with a friend when they took the kids to watch. She's like, I want to come watch also. Then she decides to do it. She's there with her cane and she's going skydiving. Anyway, Safta. Why are we talking about Safta? Oh, Safta took me to my driver's test, okay? We could talk about Safta. I can tell you stories and stories all night about Safta. Anyways, so we don't enjoy... Who enjoys taking a test? Nobody enjoys taking a test. Nobody's excited about taking a test. It's a challenge. It's a nisayon. It's challenging. It's a trial, tribulation. The mon was a test. The mon was the biggest brach in the world. The mon was incredible. The mon was awesome. The mon was, you don't have to work. You don't have to go to college. You don't have to go to school. You don't have to earn a living. You wake up every morning. Everything you need is provided for you when you wake up. And it tastes like anything in the world that you want. It's awesome. Forget that. It's deciding, where am I going to go out to eat tonight? Am I going to go to Doma? Am I just going to go to Gray's? Am I going to go here? What am I? You're nothing. Forget it. We're all the same. It's all one, you know? Whatever you want it to be. So Thursday night, I'll have it taste like pizza, chvesnesh, you know? And it's all one. And it's awesome. That's awesome. So it's a test. What's the test of the month? And there are a lot of beautiful answers. But of the most famous answers of what the month was a test was the Ramban. And the Ramban explains that the month was a test because, as we know, the month had different laws to it. And for example, one major law was it spoiled if you kept it overnight. You had to go and collect every morning that day's portion. You had enough for that day. You know what it is? None of us know what it is, and we should never know what it is. To go to sleep at night with no food in your refrigerator, not knowing what's going to be tomorrow. We had to go to sleep in the Midbar every night with no food in our refrigerator, having tremendous emunah bitachon that we're going to wake up hungry and we're going to find food again from the Rabbeinu Shalom. And Shabbos, we had to take a double portion, believing it's going to stay and not spoil, even though every other night it would spoil. The nisayon of the man was that we're going to have such strong emunah bitachon in Hashem that every day there's going to be food for us and not worry about it, not have daigas and be besimcha. It was a nisayon in emunah, a nisayon in our trust in Hashem. That's what the falling of the man was. That's what that represents. Which started on a chayir. Started on a day of Lag BaOmer. A day of emunah. A day of bitachon. We see this as well by the man in Parshas Bishalach in Rashi. When Rashi tells us, we know that some of the man was put into a jar. In Perek Tazayim Pasuk Lamed Beis, was put in a jar in the Aron. For future generations to see, that people should see the man. Not so they... Whoa, I see the man to know there was this miracle bread from heaven. Stop. The bread we will eat Mir Hashem tomorrow night is just as miraculous. It's just as miraculous that Hashem allows wheat to grow and that it turns into a bread. But listen to what Rashi says. B'mei Yirmiyahu, in the days of Yirmiyahu, k'shir Yirmiyahu mochichin, l'mei enat amoskim b'torah. Yirmiyahu was giving a rebuke. Why are we not learning Torah? We have to work. We have to earn a living. Who has time to learn any Torah? We have to have money. Where are we going to get parnasa from if we don't work? Haman, he took out the jar of man. Not listen, but see this. This is how you're... Ancestors got parnasa. Hashem will take care of you once. Hashem will take care of all of us. Obviously, you have to put in ishtadlus, but to what degree? There has to be a balance of ishtadlus and amunah. And we need that amunah. And the man represents that amunah. The man represents that trust in Hashem that He's going to take care of us and He's going to provide for us and never get down and out and never be misyayish and never be in a despair. And that's not just for parnasa. That's for every single segment of our lives. To have a simcha zachayim because we have a munah and Hashem's taking care. We have a munah that Hashem is by our side. That's the mon. That's Lag BaOmer. What were the days that were connected to that? The 6th day of Pesach. What was the 6 days of Pesach? You know what the 6th day of Pesach was? The 6th day of Pesach, where we left Mitzrayim and we got to the Yam Suf at the 6th day of Pesach. We're standing there and the Mitzrim are running after us. And here, after all these years of avdus, of slavery, all these years, we think we're free. We go through all these miracles, and it looks like to what? To our death, either in the sea or by the hands of the Mitzrim. We're there, and there is no out. And what does the Pasuk say? Vayir mode, we had a lot of fear from what was going on. However, what did we do? Vayitaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem in Parshas Beshalach, Perek Yedalad, Pasuk Yud. We screamed that in Davened Hashem. You know what we had at that moment? We had emunah in Hashem. We knew He'd take care of us. In the greatest of despair, we had emunah. We knew Hashem is going to provide. Hashem is going to take care. It doesn't seem like there's any out. It seemed like there's no way out. We all go through situations in life, and we're in that moment. It seems like there is no out. In that moment, I think like it's over, and it's terrible, and I don't know what's going to be. Whatever it is going on in my life. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Kriyas Yamsuf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of nowhere will just split the sea. And it looks like there's no door. And there was none. But Hashem opens up the sea and we just go across. That's the Muna we have to have. That was the Muna of the sixth day of Pesach. That's the Muna of the month falling. And that's Vada, the Muna of Purim. Purim, the din was nechtam. It was already sealed that we're going to be destroyed. In Shemayim, sealed. It looked like there's no way out. We davened. We had emunah. We had bitachon. And there's geula. We never were in despair. We never gave up. So that's Purim. That's the sixth day of Pesach. That's the month falling. All one, right? And that's Vada Lag Boimer. That's Vada Lag Boimer. What happened in Lag Boimer prior to Reb Shimon passing away and prior to Reb Shimon giving over the Zohar, as we already mentioned it, but let's understand that episode for a moment. Could we imagine Rabbi Akiva? Here's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, the first 40 years of his life, first 30 years of his life, Mamish doesn't know from Torah, doesn't know from mitzvahs, nothing. And then he gets married and he goes to learn for 24 years. And he's steiging and becomes Rabbi Akiva, the great Tana Rabbi Akiva. And he has 24,000 Talmidim. Your Talmidim are like your children. Trust me. Trust me. Kol Melamed is Ben Chaver Torah Ki Yoldo. You have the schus to teach Torah, it's like your children. I feel that over. My mamish feel that about my Talmidim. I feel that about my Talmidot. I mean it. Emes. Emes. So Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 Talmidim. And 24,000 Talmidim in such a short period of time, in 33 days, are nifter, perish. Can we even imagine? We can't imagine. Can we imagine for a moment how he felt, what that was? What would any normal human being have done? I mean, crawled up into a corner and cried for the rest of one's life. Over, finished, throw in the towel. I tried, I gave my all. I didn't see my wife for 24 years to build this. And she was such a tzaddik as Rachel, as we all know the Gemaras and we know the stories. All to be lost. Nothing. We wouldn't blame Rabbi Akiva for throwing in the towel. We wouldn't blame Rabbi Akiva for me misyayish, giving up. But on Lag BaOmer, he doesn't do that. On Lag BaOmer, on that very day, he takes 5 new Talmidim. One of them being Rabbi Shimon Bechai. One of them being the great Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir Baal Nes. I'm sure you've all been there to daven. One of them being Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who eventually writes down the Mishnah. Takes 5 new Talmidim. And because of that, we have Torah today. That's the continuity of Torah. But you know why we have Torah today and why we had those Talmidim? Because he didn't have years, he had Amunah. And he said, this is Yad Hashem. For whatever reason, this is what Hashem wants. I don't understand it. I don't know why. But it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrating the world. I never give up. I know He's by my side. He'll split a sea for me and it's going to be okay. That's the Amunah of Lag BaOmer. That's the Geula of Lag BaOmer through that Amunah. That's the Muna of Vav, sixth day of Pesach. That's the Muna of the Mon. That's the Muna of Purim. And that's the essence of what Lag BaOmer is all about. If we could instill within our hearts and think about just that storyline, just that part, the Muna of that, the Muna Bitachon that each and every one of us needs to have in our lives. Of course, that's why our tefillahs are going to be answered on such a day. What's a big day of tefillah? Because when you have that emunah bitachon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers our tefillos. That's what all these days of Svirah are about as well. All these days of Svirah, Mimacharas HaShabbos, after Pesach, when we're Chag HaAmunah, is to continue to build our emunah as we prepare to ultimately hear the words from Hashem, B'chvod V'atmo, Anolichi Eloyia. To be building emunah during these days. I believe that's why there's such a focus on Shabbos. We call the weeks, these weeks Shabbos, right? Sheva Shabbosos to me, most this week's Parsha. Seven complete weeks are Shabbos. Shabbos is a day of Mamuna, where we show that we believe in Hashem, that He created the world, and we're willing to not do any avodah, because Hashem will take care of us. Our lives are Amuna. Our lives are Mamish Amuna. And this day, like Boimer, Vav, sixth day of Pesach, Purim, the month falling, it's all Amuna. You know, I was thinking about it. There's a very beautiful minog. There's a very beautiful minog to have upsharons on Lag BaOmer. I had this chus 2 years ago to have my son's upsharon on Lag BaOmer, real Nasan Tzvi. It was so beautiful. I spoke about it here at the school and a Rebbe who gave the upsharon, one of the upsharons, together with Rav Shur, who we spoke about earlier. So one of the reasons you have an upsharon on Lag BaOmer is because you had a whole entire month where you couldn't have an upsharon, right? An upsharon is having a first haircut at the age of 3. So you have so many children that you have a month, you know, grouping of children that were waiting to have an upsharon. But also, you see in the Sfarim, it's a special day for an upsharon. And literally thousands of kids have their upsharon in the Meron on Lag BaOmer. Even if your birthday was like a month before, or it's going to be a month later, like people, the Sfarim bring down to have the upsharon on Lag BaOmer. So thinking about it, why, maybe. An upsharon, first of all, the upsharon is the beginning of the chinuch of a child. When you're cutting the hair short and saying, now you have to be a little more serious, and not your long hair is just wild and free, and now it's time to start learning. Of course, on a day of Amunah, that's what we want, that's the foundation. But it's more than that. One of the sources of an upsharon is that each person, ba'adam et asadeh, each person is compared to a tree, and just like a tree, a fruit tree, you know, the first few years is what? It's arla. You can't enjoy the fruits. So to the first 3 years, you don't touch the hair of the child. You know what Amunah Bitachon it takes to not touch the fruits for a farmer those years? You're going and you're working hard. And you're planting and you're sowing and you're watering and you're taking care of it and you're putting it. And I can't touch it. Why? Because I have Amunah B'Hashem and He tells me not to. So that upsharon represents that Amunah. So Vad is going to happen on the day of Amunah. That's what Lag BaOmer, the essence of Lag BaOmer is a day of such Amunah and such Bitachon, which all these days are one. You know, I know a lot in the room, and a lot of young women at these ages are dealing with different situations when it comes to shiduchim, all different situations that often can be challenging. Often can be challenging. And can have reason to be upset and to be down. But Lag BaOmer is a day when we learn, even when you do have reason to be upset and down, and even when it is challenging, I'm going to pass that Laman and Tenu, that Nisoyon of the Mon, and have Amunah Bitachon, Hashem's orchestrating the world, and I believe in Him, and I know He's watching me. I know He's taking care of me. Even when I don't understand, I throw my hands and say, Zayt Eibishter, it's okay. That's what all these days are about. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't look good. I don't even see any of the light at the end of the tunnel. It looks so bad that there's a sea in front of me and the Mitzvah behind me. At any moment, you're going to have a Kriyas Yamsif, and you have to just have Amunah. And that's this day. That's Lag BaOmer. The day of Amunah. And I was thinking about this. This came to me a few weeks ago. I can't believe I never thought of this one before. But Mamish, I think this is the first time I'm sharing it in a longer shir. If you take the gematria of Amunah and Bitachon, you take the gematria of Amunah Bitachon. Amunah plus Bitachon, which is Amunah is that belief in Hashem that He runs the world and He controls the world and He created the world. The Bitachon is my personal relationship that I know He's taking care of me. And I trust in Him. Bitachon, I trust in Him that He's taking care of me every moment. If you take gematria Amunah Bitachon together, Amunah plus Bitachon is exactly gematria 171, is exactly gematria Gan Eden. Why is that? Because when I have Amunah Bitachon in this world, I'm already in Gan Eden. It's all good. You could live a chaye olam haba, as the pasuk says. When you have Amunah Bitachon, I'm already in Gan Eden. Because I'm with Hashem every moment. And there is no tzara in my life. Because all that seems like Yiddish, I'm going to be tachlon, it's okay. I'm a Rabbi Kiva Tekiyid, who I just continue on, and I know that it's the Rabbonah Shalom by my side. And I'm living Lag Boim every moment. And I'm living Purim, and I'm living the 6 day of Pesach. I'm living with that emunah that one can attain through Lag Boimer, through understanding Lag Boimer. And I read a story recently. It's a little bit of a crazy story. I'm not saying we should do things like this, but it really brings out the Heilige Baal Shem Tov. The Heilige Baal Shem Tov was born in the very early 1700s, the founder of Hasidus. So if you know anything about the Baal Shem Tov, for the first 36 years of his life, he didn't reveal himself as this like big tzaddik. People thought of him as like just a normal person, basically. He was a Rebbe of children. It wasn't until Rosh Hashanah of 1734, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that he was revealed. But wherever he was, so his koichus, his abilities, when need be, if there was like some sort of pogrom or somebody, some really bad situation, he'd use his abilities. And people sometimes would catch on. He didn't want to reveal himself yet for whatever reason. He was very benister, very hidden. And he'd then have to like, so he'd leave to go to another village because he didn't want people to know who he was. It was all hidden. It was all betzina. And one time he went to a village. In those days, in the early 1700s in Europe, there were many pogroms, and it was bad times for the Yidden. Anti-Semitism was rampant. And the Cossacks would often come, and like mamish, come to a Jewish shtetl and like destroy it physically, and mamish torture them physically, and do terrible things to women, and steal all their possessions. And there was one particular village that the Baal Shem Tov was living in at this time, and they knew the Cossacks were supposed, they got word that they're coming soon. So they went, their village was in a valley, they went up into the hills to hide all the people, and left all their belongings, everything. And they were able to see, they were in hiding in these caves, and they saw the Cossacks come, and the Cossacks are mamish destroying everything, and taking all their stuff, and looting. And they're there for a few days, and they're getting everything together to steal all their stuff. And they're in hiding. Everyone's in hiding. The men, women, children, the Baal Shem. And then, like the second or third day that this was going on, while the Cossacks were still there, it was Lag Boimer. It was Lag Boimer. So Baal Shem Tov went, and he starts going from cave to cave, where all the hiding, and gathering all the children, and bringing them outside in the open, where they were visible. They could be seen, perhaps, by the Cossacks who were much lower down, but possibly. And gets them all together. And the parents start really getting nervous, what's going on here? And they ask the Baal Shem Tov, they didn't know that he was such a great man, who he was, this is Rabbi Yisrael, what are you doing, what's going on? He says, it's Lag Boimer, it's the day of Rabbi Shem Ba'yachai. We have to celebrate in his chus. Don't worry, everything's going to be okay, trust me. And he goes and he takes all the children, and he makes like a Lag Boimer parade. He's parading them through over there, and they're singing all the songs of Bar Yochai and V'amartim Kol Lechai and Rabbi Akiva, and the mamish parents are mamish, so nervous, they're davening, they don't understand what's going on. And then he sits them down in the corner, starts giving out all this food, all these treats, and telling them all the stories of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva and the Gemaras. And then the parents come, please give us our kids back. They were all nervous that the Cossacks are going to see and come kill them all. He says, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. As this is going on, suddenly they watch and they see all the Cossacks leave their village, don't even take anything with them and all run away. Like mamish in the middle. But what happened? They found out late. They were able to go back to their village and they didn't even take anything with them and everything was fine. They found out the Cossacks, they thought the government was coming to, because these were just like these thieves, whatever. And they ran away. So Vada, okay, the tefillos of Baal Shem Tov are legendary. Forget about that the Cossacks ran away on Lag Boimer. That the Baal Shem Tov could do such a thing and go out into the open and be singing. It's not for me or you. These type of, meaning this isn't a story that we should follow. That's not the Muna we're talking about. It's not the Muna we're talking about. I don't mean like in, you know, Chvesnesh that a person should go and start in the middle of some anti-Semitic group, you know, go walk and start screaming Torah and tefillah. But the idea that the Baal Shem Tov did that on Lag Boimer, I believe, was that the Baal Shem Tov understood the level of Emunah Bitachon that Lag Boimer represents. And he had such Emunah Bitachon, he knew he's going to be okay. For him, he's on a level not like us. Now, we're not on that type of level. But in our own lives, when things do happen to us, we have to have that Emunah, we have that Bitachon, We have to have, and that's a life, and we'll see when you have it, you'll have a life of Gan Eden. You'll have a life of Simcha, a life of Bracha, a life where everything is just, Mamish feels incredible in your life. And you could take on the world. And that's the Simcha of Lag B'Omer. You know what maybe we're celebrating? What are we celebrating? Although we explained a few different ideas, but it's the celebration of that Amunah. When you have Amunah, you're always celebrating. When you have Amunah and Bitachon, you always want to be dancing. When you have Amunah and Bitachon, Hashem is by your side, it's all good, and I can take on the world, and I'm never misyayish, and even if I don't understand it, I know I don't understand, but I know it's the Rabbonah Shalom. And that itself is the biggest koach we could ever have. It's the biggest koach we could ever have. And it can help us get through anything in this world. Mamish anything, if we really have it, we'll have the biggest simcha in our lives. The simcha of Lag B'Omer, the simcha of Purim, the simcha of Vav Pesach, the simcha of the Mon. And we'll pass the Nisayon of the Mon. Just to end with one matana, I was thinking the other night when I was preparing this shir, because Baruch Hu brought me a matana. It's a little bit of a crazier one, but one. If you take the gematria for Lag B'Omer plus Purim plus Mon, right? It's Peleg, Purim and Lag B'Omer is the same day, and that's the day that the Mon fell. So I didn't put Vav Pesach in there because it's all Pesach. But you have Purim, Lag B'Omer, and Mon is Gematria 777, which is the Gematria with the koilel of each word. Koine Emuna Pshuta. To Kone means to acquire, Kuvav Nane, right? To acquire Emuna Pshuta, the most pure, simple Emuna that we all want. Kone Emuna Pshuta B'chol Yom, in every single day. The gematria of Kone Emuna Pshuta B'chol Yom with the koilels is exactly gematria like Boimer Purim and Mon, 777. That should be our focus on building this Emuna, on realizing it's such a big day of Emuna, on celebrating the Chag, this Chag of Emuna, which is still going from Pesach, Bezjam. That's why Pesach, it's Mimachar Zashab, it all stems from Pesach, Sfir Omer and Lag Boimer. So Bezjam is Baruch. Each and every one of us should always have that Emuna, always have that Betachla, and then we'll be able to tans on Lag Boimer. Kedai Lismach al Rashimon, be Soimech always on Rab Shimon, which is who was Soimech on that Amunah, was Mamish in the Ma'ara, the stories in the cave, to have Amunah Mamish with no food. I mean, the carob tree grew and the water. I mean, we all know the stories. Incredible. Incredible. If we have that Amunah, we have that Pitachon, Bezoicha, that just like Chazal say, it was Amunah that brought us the Geula and Pesach. And it was, Be'ezer Hashem will be Amunah that will bring us the Gan Eden of our lives right now, until we're Zoicha to the Geula Shlema, Mashiach Tzidkenu, till we'll be dancing this year with Rav Shimon HaMeiron, or in Yerushalayim Er HaKodesh, with Geula Shlema, Mashiach Tzidkenu, B'mehera B'yameinu. V'shem HaHeilige Shabbos Kodesh, and the Lichtige HaHeilige Lag B'Omer.